You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Stew's the stew for you. Do you do the stew that stews? Come find out at UBC Sprouts.
Located in the basement of the AMS Nest and on the penthouse of the GSS building. Open weekdays 9 to 4:30.
UBC Sprouts is your home for cheap,
tasty,
organic,
locally sourced,
vegan stew and baked goods.
If the search has been long and futile and brutal.
CITR Radio 101.9 FM and Discorder Magazine present The Science of Making Great Radio Workshop with the CBC's Margaret Gallagher. If you want to learn more about making radio documentaries, how to collect good audio, or just how to make your pieces pop on the radio, come out Monday, March 5th from 7 to 9 p.m. in room 2514 in the AMS Nest. The workshop is free and open to the public, but space is limited, so email volunteer at citr.ca to reserve a spot.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia. We are coming so close to the end of our 24 hours, but we're not quite there. We're at 5 p.m. Pacific time, and I'm Hala. I'm the president of the student executive here at CITR, and I'm joined by a very special guest.
Hi, I'm Myra. I'm from Sprouts.
So exciting. We're so stoked to have Sprouts here.
Yeah, we're really excited to be here.
So tell me a little bit about what Sprouts is and what they do.
Sprouts is a volunteer-run student collective that we strive to just make sustainable and healthy food available to students on campus. So we have a couple of initiatives that try to accomplish that. We have Seedlings, which is located in the penthouse of the Thea Kerner Graduate Student House. And we have Community Eats, which is an initiative that we do every Friday that we can talk about a little bit more later. But it's in the engineering building every Friday from 11:30 to 2. And normally we have Sprouts, which would be in the Nest, which is a similar initiative to Seedlings Cafe. But right now it's closed because of construction in the old sub.
So tell me what the executive does at Sprouts.
The board is made up of about 24 people, so if you ask any one of us, we're going to have very different descriptions of what we do. I personally am the kitchen manager at Sprouts, so when Sprouts is open, I order food and make it and deal with supplies in the kitchen and stuff like that. But the president, for example, deals with things I think most presidents of clubs deal with, like just dealing with the AMS and talking to different clubs and initiatives and keeping on track of all of us. But overall, we manage shifts at Seedlings and we make businesses run, basically. And yeah, that's mostly what we do.
So speaking to your position specifically, where does Sprouts order their food from?
We order exclusively from, we try to order exclusively from local producers, but we try to prioritize local and organic produce, especially ordering from the farm when we can, and things like flour and cocoa, you're never going to be able to order locally. We just don't make that here, but we only order from farmers that we have a relationship with and from producers that are in line with our standards for sustainability and ethics and everything. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit more about that. So what do standards of sustainability mean to Sprouts?
We try to maximize sustainability by minimizing the amount of, like, the distance that food has to travel from. We try to order from BC, and if we can't, then from Washington or from Alberta. And we just want our food to have the least impact on the earth and still be as healthy as possible for a consumer, because it's really hard as students to keep that up we try to be like an easy option for especially vegan and vegetarian students on campus.
Sprouts is one of those things that if you know about it, you love it, but most people don't know about it.
Yeah. We've been working on that a lot. We want the majority of people to know that it's a resource for them. We are here for students. We're all students, the people who run and work at Seedlings and Sprouts. We're all students, and we're all volunteers, so we all really want to be there because it's a lot of time to put into something you don't want to actually do. But, yeah, it is hard to get the word out because I think vegan can be a really big word and comes with a lot of connotations, and we try our hardest not to be exclusive. We want to be a space where anybody can come in, but I mean, I think it's just the kind of thing where if you are open to trying it, you're going to come and hopefully love it. And if that seems like something you're not interested in, you're just not going to think about it again. So,
do you think that Sprouts has like that to deal with? Like, do you think that a lot of students think that Sprouts is exclusive in some way or is like hippy dippy in some ways? I think that that must be one of the main barriers.
Yeah, I think. I mean, I personally thought it was before I started volunteering there. I've been there for about 3 years now, but my first year I didn't really do anything. And the summer between my first and second year, I was looking for things to do around campus. And I saw this and I was like, oh, I'm really into sustainable food, but like veganism is a big thing. And I'm not a vegan. I'm vegetarian, but not strict about it. But once you step into that space, I think you find that most people there are not there to judge you or to prescribe to you what they think you should be eating. They're just there to like make you food and make it as cheap as possible. So I do think that is something we have to work on at every turn, because sustainability is also a big word, and like just branding can be really hard, I think. But we do try to make it as inclusive as possible. We do try to reach out to clubs. We serve brownies sometimes at improv because that might be a different group of people. And we just, I think we're all really excited about Sprouts, so we all try our best to get people to be excited about it too.
Yeah, organizations only work as well as the passion of their members.
Yeah.
That's what we find here at CITR as well, is that we only work because we have like a group of core people that are really committed to it, mm-hmm. and then like by extension a community that cares about it.
Yeah.
So what sort of community has developed around Sprouts in that way? So whether that be people that are dedicated to eating there or the board as a community?
Sprouts is pretty special, I think, in that it's been around for quite a long time, so the community really precedes me and will keep going hopefully after all of us leave. But to the credit of the board this year, like, I haven't seen people as committed as right now, and we're at this very weird transition-y stage in our being where we don't have a permanent space until the old sub opens completely again. So we've really found that our community, we thought, might waver in this time where it's harder to meet physically, but it's actually been really great because we find that we get a lot of support from people asking where we are, asking how they can get involved, asking what they can do to make sure that our space is insured on campus. And I think that comes from every level of people who are involved with Sprouts, people who go to eat there, people who volunteer, people who are on the board. And I think as a board, we just try to channel that energy as best as we can. But yeah, it's a really good group of people we have. And like, we're always trying to expand it because we think what's there is pretty cool. So we want as many people as possible to have access to it.
It's interesting to hear that the lack of a permanent physical space hasn't, been a huge barrier for your community building in any way.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's harder to do, but we've had to move Community Eats to the engineering building, the engineering student building, which is a hard-to-find building, and the engineers have been very gracious in letting us use it on Fridays, but it doesn't have a real kitchen. We had to buy induction burners. We have to do all of these things to keep it going, but we find that people still want to look for us and, like, are still willing to go that extra distance for what we have tried to create. And it's also been really cool because a lot of people who maybe never would have known about us in our old space now do, because we're in the engineering building and they're engineers and just happen to be there.
So for some background, what is Community Eats?
Community Eats is a program where we get food waste from a local supermarket. And it's a lot of it is organic. A lot of it seems like it should not be thrown out, but we use that food that can't technically be sold anymore. We make it into meals and, like, also just give it away as groceries, as a by donation lunch on Fridays. And you bring your own container, bring a donation, and you get some free food. It's really nice.
Yeah, I've gone to Community Eats a lot over the last couple of years, and, like, just the vibe there is incredible. I often feel like this campus is elitist in a lot of ways and requires a lot of money to sustain yourself, like, as a body here. And Community Eats is one of those places where it's just great to have a community where it's, like, no one turned away for lack of funds, and it's sort of this, like, enjoyable place to be at the same time.
Yeah, one of our big commitments at Sprouts Seedlings and Community Eats is affordability and just sort of, as you mentioned, like, it's really hard to live on campus because everything's expensive, and if you have certain dietary restrictions, some things are really like cut off from you. But I think what is special about what we do is that we're really trying to cater towards students, which is a not very rich demographic. We're not trying to make money. We're just trying to make food, and we're just trying to make it accessible to people. Food insecurity is a big issue for us, and we're always striving to make it more and more accessible.
Definitely. Those are great goals. So with that in mind, let's jump into a couple of the songs you chose.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've queued up a couple, so let's hear those, and then we'll be right back with more from Myra from Sprouts.
Yo. Have you ever used or wanted to use a community lending library, collective workshop, or bike co-op? Come out to Making Space, questioning power and privilege in makerspaces on Wednesday, November 29th in the Mount Pleasant Neighborhood House from 5 to 8 p.m. to examine how power and privilege shows up in makerspaces and explore strategies that support more inclusive and equitable initiatives. Go to diversityandmakerspaces.eventbrite.ca to register for this event, and there'll be free food.
We got a theory.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. We know how magnets work.
If magic is all we've ever known, then it's easy to miss what really goes on. But I've seen miracles in every way, and I see miracles every day.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here at the University of British Columbia. I'm your host, Hala. I'm the president of the student executive, and I'm here with Meyer from Sprouts.
Hello.
Welcome again.
Yes.
So we were just chatting a little bit about what Sprouts does as an organization. So let's get into the nitty-gritty a little bit. I'm really curious to know about if you could take us through sort of the debacle of your space moves and when we'll be seeing a new permanent Sprouts.
Well, I'm really excited to announce that we will have a permanent space, and it looks really cool. We just saw the plans last week. In the old sub, it's going to be in the same place that if you were here when the old sub used to be open, where we were then. So we're really excited for that. We're going to move in over the summer. But yeah, if you checked out Sprouts last year, you probably found us in the pit, which was, as you said, a debacle. It was a little bit weird, but we were really, I personally didn't mind it too much because I found in the end we ended up making it really our own. I actually kind of liked the space that, like, I used to call it the vegan cave. But yeah, I mean, it has been hard on us to move all the time. And as the kitchen manager for Sprouts, it's been kind of hard on me and the other person in my position to not really have a permanent job right now. A lot of what we do is we still make brownie orders for clubs, which hit us up if you want.
Tell me more about that. I did not know that was a service.
Oh, yeah. You can email kitchen@ubcsprouts.ca. It'll come to me. And we make brownie orders if you want for your club, for your events.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
Sprouts
please.
Brownies.
Yes, please. yeah, we still do those. But other than that, as the kitchen manager, like, it's just menu planning for next year, which can be kind of a frustrating task when last year, like, I was cooking twice a week at, like, pretty intense kitchen shifts, which I really liked. So it has been kind of a weird thing to have to move and then not have a space. And at the end of our time at the pit, they actually reopened the pit itself during lunch, and so we had to be licensing people. Nobody under 18 could come in, which was, what is it, 19?
19.
It's 19, yeah. Which was a little bit frustrating because we want our space to be as inclusive as possible, but I'm always really surprised at how willing everybody on the board and all our volunteers and everybody, our customers, are to make things work. Yeah, I mean, we are without a space right now, but I think we've really kicked up the amount of workshops we do. We try to be as present as we can while not having a physical space for Sprouts, which is our kind of our home ship. But yeah.
So, talking about these plans that you saw for the new space, what are some of the features?
There's going to be a bigger kitchen, which personally I'm thrilled about. A big kitchen. It's going to be a more open cafe space, so hopefully that'll invite people to come in and out more often. We're going to be able to expand our bulk buying section, which is where we can buy wholesale price organic goods and sell them to you guys for no markup because we don't take any money. And so we'll be able to expand that. Right now we only have, I want to say, rice and lentils at Seedlings. We'll be able to expand that, and I'm trying to think what else. But yeah, there's going to be, we're going to be able to have community eats again. It's going to be bigger than it is right now because of our spatial capacities. And what is the other thing? Oh, yeah, we're going to be able to display more student art, which we can't currently do. So
That's a cool feature of the Old Sprouts in the basement of the Old Sub, was that it always had like cool art pieces around. Yeah. Do you collab with other clubs to make that happen?
Yeah, we love collaborating with, well, any club really, but we were really fortunate in the Old Sub to be close to the Pottery Club, so we got to collaborate with them, and we actually have special like little glass cases for pottery that's going to be in the new space, so we're excited for that. And I think actually this year we might be bringing back the Super Bowl event, which is where Pottery Club comes in with a bunch of bowls that they've made to Community Eats, and they sell their bowls, and you can, you know, eat Community Eats food in the bowls, and it's really fun.
What a catchy title.
Yeah.
I love it.
We only did it for the pun, really.
Yeah, of course. That makes complete sense. And I think that touches on a couple of the other items that you mentioned before, that you're really trying to go for this vibe change, like mm-hmm. this more open and accessible space where folks who may not have felt comfortable in the old space can participate in Sprouts.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I personally never felt uncomfortable in the old space, but I completely understand how it was kind of like old furniture and vegan food, and it's just kind of, it can seem kind of inaccessible or even just something you're not interested in. But I'm hopeful for the future space because it's going to be quite open. It's going to have a nice study area. It's going to be in the basement of the Sub, so hopefully high traffic. So we're excited to kind of expand the community, but also, you know, like we want to change the vibe so that it's inclusive, but we don't want to lose our personality as an organization. Because that's kind of important to us too, you know.
Definitely. It's really important when you change atmospheres or change environments that the general vibe of the place, like the real heart of it, doesn't go away, right?
And I find that that comes with our community. Like our customers, our volunteers, and everybody just tries to be as nice as possible. Like people are always sitting at tables with strangers they don't know, and I really like that about our space, because even if like not tons of new people are coming to see us, the people who are there are really open to meeting everybody else.
Definitely. That sounds lovely. So you mentioned that you're on the board. Mm-hmm. So how can folks get involved in the board?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, because elections are going to come up soon. If you're interested in getting involved with Sprouts or Seedlings, I'd say the best thing to start off with is to volunteer. We take volunteers at the beginning of every semester and kind of on a rolling basis for one-off volunteering opportunities. But as a volunteer, you get to work in the cafes or at Community Eats, and you can make food and sell food. You can actually get real cafe experience. We're getting an espresso machine soon, too, so you can get barista experience eventually. And then from there, I would suggest running for the board. It's pretty easy to run. Not many people do usually, so you can usually get it just by default. But if you are considering it, I would say get involved first with Seedlings or Sprouts, and then definitely, definitely run, and definitely understand that it is a big commitment.
Definitely. Being a part of an AMS club myself, I know that funding for a club can be a little bit difficult to secure sometimes. So how do you bankroll the Sprouts operation and the Seedlings operation?
Well, we are a nonprofit, so the only money we need to make is to be able to keep us afloat. So the only fees we really have are food and rent. So we rely a lot on grants. We just, this past semester, we applied for and we're in the top 5 for the Aviva Community Fund grant, which was really exciting for
us. I voted for you.
Yay. So we got some money from that. Like it's a lot of hard work on the part of our president, our vice president, who, like, huge props to them. They're really incredible at what they do. Our treasurers are really amazing. We have fundraising board members who are just, like, everybody is so good at what they do that we manage to stay afloat, but, like, we're usually in debt. That's hard, but we still are there for, like, the service of our community members, so we try to make it work no matter how much money we have.
Do you do fundraising campaigns?
We do, actually. I believe they just made a crowdfunding video today, so we'll be starting off more ground-up funding campaigns soon, but nothing too formal. Like, Community Eats does some funding for, like, it's by donation, so they get some funding through that, but we are admittedly not great at, like, large-scale fundraising.
Definitely. It's a huge project to do large-scale fundraising.
Oh, yeah. And we're trying to raise a lot of money for the new space right now because we are not being supplied all the equipment by the AMS. So,
tricky. Tell me more about that.
I don't want to get anybody in. I don't want to say anything, like, disparaging.
Definitely.
But basically, we are not getting all the money for kitchen equipment and chairs and tables and stuff. Things that we need for the cafe, we're going to have to supply ourselves. Some of it is feasible and some of it is, it's just going to be a big effort on our part. So we have fundraising events planned for the coming term. I don't have any dates yet, but we are working on that. We have a pretty big fundraising goal because we need things like ovens and pans, so...
Yeah, that's a whole lot of fundraising that needs to be done. Is any of the equipment from the old Sprouts salvageable into the new space? Or?
Yeah, some of it is. It's been in storage for a really long time, and we never owned it. We used to use the AMS kitchen, so now this will be just our space. And we do get some of it, but I think something that has been kind of frustrating working in this building process that's been going on for so many years is that there's been a lot of, I guess, miscommunication or opacity from one end to the other about what is available and what we have to supply. So we kind of are expecting the worst because that's what we have to do and hoping for the best. But I know we definitely have some, I think we have ovens and a stew kettle for sure. But we'll see what else we have, and we're working really hard to make sure we have everything we need.
Yeah, you're off to a good start.
Hopefully, yes. If yeah. those things are in place, then yeah, we'll be fine.
Definitely. Well, this sounds like a call to action to donate some coins to Sprouts.
And if you don't have any money, which I totally understand, I also strongly suggest people check out the current petition going on. I think we're going to... You can sign online until, I think, the 23rd. This petition is to get a referendum up for the vote. We need 1,000 signatures by UBC students. You can find the petition on UBC Sprouts Facebook page or Roots on the Roof Facebook page or UBC Farm Facebook page or Agora Cafe Facebook page. And this petition is to get a referendum that would put a 35-cent fee on student or tack on 35 cents onto student fees that would go towards sustainable food. Sustainable food operations on campus.
So how much money would that allocate to Sprouts specifically?
I think it's about $8,000 we would get a year, $8,000 or $9,000, which for us is pretty much all we need to run in 1 year. It'd be a huge, huge deal because then we could focus less on worrying about paying our rent and more about keeping our prices low and offering more things to the community, like free workshops and stuff like that. Like last year, we had sourdough workshops, we had nut cheese workshops, we had lots of things going, and they were all free to the community, but we can only keep doing that if we have access to funds. So,
definitely. So if you're a UBC student and you're listening to this, go out and sign that referendum.
Yes.
35 cents is such a small amount to tack on to your student fees, which are already exorbitant.
Yeah.
So tack on that 35 cents, sign that referendum. If you do have any other capacity in terms of volunteer hours or cash to spare, Sprouts is your place.
Yes, please, please. We're always, we always want to hear from you too. If you don't have anything to give to us, we like still want to hear from you. What can we do better? How do you want to help? Do you hate us? Tell us. We want to know.
So let's listen to a couple more songs that you chose.
Oh, okay.
So tell us what songs you picked.
I don't remember, but one of them is definitely Avril Lavigne, Skater Girl. Skater Boy?
Skater Boy.
Skater Boy. I feel very ashamed.
This was the very first CD that I ever owned.
That's amazing.
I know.
As an American, it's one of the only Canadian artists that I can, like, spring to mind quite quickly, which is embarrassing. But
was Avril Lavigne as important to you as like an American youth as it was to me as a Canadian youth?
Absolutely.
Okay. It was. I just want to confirm.
Oh yeah. No, she spoke to me in a way that should not have spoken to like an 8-year-old, but.
That's true. I got this CD and Hilary Duff's Metamorphosis at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like everyone's first CD who's like currently 20-something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Complicated off of Avril Lavigne's album probably had the biggest effect on me.
Yeah.
Although the Hilary Duff album, like, I found very emotional.
It's so emotional. It's about change, you know, which we were all going through at that rough time in our lives. I find going down these 2000s holes is really, it's such a good time. There's only good music from then, obviously. Everybody knows that the good things happened in the 2000s.
Yeah, what do you think is so validating about listening to 2000s music? Because you're totally right. There is this complete capitalization on early 2000s music right now.
Like, yeah.
The Pit has 2000s nights all the time. Like,
yep. We're getting old.
Do you think it's that?
I think it's just nostalgia. Like, who doesn't want to listen to the thing they listened to when they didn't have to worry about, like, their psych midterm or whatever, you know?
I'm a classical studies major, and nostalgia comes from an ancient Greek word,
mm-hmm.
Nostos and algia, which literally means like a pain for the past.
Yeah.
A pain for something that's behind you. And I think that's really telling because I think nostalgia is one of those things where it's like the grass is always greener.
Mm-hmm.
Avril Lavigne is no better, and I'm going to get slack for this. Avril Lavigne is no better than, like, Carly Rae Jepsen or something.
I love Carly Rae. I was going to put her on my list of things to play today. But I was, like, afraid that I would get too much flack for that. But, no, she's no better. But it's like, I didn't listen to Carly Rae when I was 8 and running around and, like, didn't care about things. I don't know. There's something very just carefree about music, I think, from the 2000s, and that might be completely projected onto it, but I really like it.
Who do you think is going to be the Avril Lavigne for people that are, like, 10 years old now?
Oh, my God. So my sister is 15, so unfortunately I have deep access into this, and, like, all of these people come from YouTube, and I don't want to sound like an old, grumpy person, but it's all really bad. And I mean, sure, my parents probably still think Avril Lavigne is not very good, but I can't say I hold out hope for the Jacob Sartorius's of the world.
I don't even know who that is.
Don't do it.
That feels bad that I don't know who that is.
He comes from an app called Musical.ly. He's currently dating Bobby Brown
from
Stranger Things. Musical.ly is an app where you lip sync things, by the way. And now he's a singer. And he is the youngest person to ever have sold out Madison Square Garden.
What a wild ride.
Yeah.
My goodness.
I hate that I know that. But
yeah, that's a lot of background info on Jacob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my roommate and I are deep in on Jacob.
I respect the vision. That's good. You've got to have, like, those, like, guilty pleasures.
Trying to keep up with the youths, you know?
Yeah.
Keep us young.
Yeah. Hip. Okay, well, speaking of keeping us young, like, let's get going. Let's listen to Skater Boy.
Let's do it.
Okay. Yeah.
She did that. gloss and shimmer. Big lights reflecting our puddles in dark nights, gloss and shimmer. Big lights reflecting our puddles in dark nights, gloss and shimmer. Big lights reflecting our puddles in dark nights, gloss and shimmer.
Thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could. The only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
The Crane Library is looking for student volunteers to record textbooks for those who cannot use print at the university. If you are a UBC student who is computer literate with an ability to read university material aloud and you have a willingness to learn new techniques, we ask for a 2-hour commitment once a week. For additional information and to set up an audition, call 604-822-6114 or email crane.volunteer@ubc.ca.
You're tuned in to 24 Hours of Student Power on CITR 101.9 FM or CITR.ca. I'm Hala, the host for this hour, and I'm here with Myra from Sprouts. Yes. Welcome for the third time. So we're almost at the end of our hour, but I want to do a quick plug for stuff that's coming up next. We've still got a couple more hours of programming. Radio Pizza Party is on after this, which is hosted by some folks from the UBC. And then from 7 to 9 p.m., we'll be having live bands broadcasted on the airwaves and live in studio. So if you're planning on coming down, or if you're on campus, maybe you're at the talent party right now and you want to come after, there will be live bands at CITR from 7 to 9 p.m. So we're having Gulo come down, Turinesh, and Vishal Vishare. Cool. So I'm very stoked. Very stoked. Cool. We also have a beverage machine, which accepts coins. Oh, beverage is a code word. So I'm very excited. Yeah. I'm very excited for tonight. So do you have any closing words?
Closing words. Sign our petition so that we can keep operating and keep making happy, healthy food. Check out Sprouts and Seedlings if you haven't. Again, it's in the penthouse of the GSS Thea Kerner building. If you know where Kerner's Pub is, you can find us. And check us out on social media, UBC Sprouts, across all socials.
Sweet. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Sweet. Well, stay tuned right after this for Radio Pizza Party and then for live bands from 7 to 9 p.m. Thanks again.
Thanks so much.